We will be based in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8 this morning. My series on my favorite verses and some of your favorite verses. You better get those in if you're going to, because this is winding down. It only seemed good and right for me to have one favorite verse that would be about what lies in store for us in the future. I don't know how often you stop and think about that. What lies in store? What has God got planned for us? We talk about faith, hope, and love. And that hope is the hope of what God is going to do for all eternity and how we are involved in that, what part we play in it, and in what way. The verse I've chosen this morning is, I said, 2 Timothy chapter 4, and as we've read, 2 Timothy 4, verse 8. I picked this a few weeks ago, and I picked this day a few weeks ago because of a futuristic prediction that was supposed to happen yesterday. And to me, there was a lot of vagueness involved in that, whether the rapture was going to happen when we would be taken out as the church and out of this world and go to be with the Lord, or whether the world was going to end. And I honestly 100% never believed that, because in my Bible, there's a lot to happen yet that hasn't happened yet. And there's some years attached to some of those things that it just couldn't be in my understanding of Scripture. But I wasn't opposing that the rapture would take place, because that means I would be gone and I wouldn't have to worry about this sermon either. It'd be a mute fact. But Jesus could have come back yesterday and I wouldn't have cared. In fact, I would have rejoiced to be in the presence of my Savior forever. What an amazing hope that we have. So I picked it because, well, it didn't matter if I was here today or not. The hope is still there and always will be, or I could have been gone. But I also picked it because I felt it probably wasn't going to happen, even the rapture, because there seems to be an understanding in Scripture that nobody's going to know when that day is, that only the Father knows that day. And so when people start picking dates, I start to get a little bit skeptical, and I'm a skeptic at heart anyway, but I get very skeptical, and I really didn't believe that would probably happen. Not opposed to it. But it is a reminder, though, for us to refocus on the hope that we have. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. We're going to be reading some passages this morning, so you can have your Bibles limbered up a little bit at least. Philippians chapter 3. I want to read these few verses to you, starting at verse 12. Not that I have already obtained, and if you don't want to flip through, you can write down the reference and you can go back to it later. But not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Jesus Christ. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That was Paul's focus. That's what he was here for, to do the Lord's work, but always pressing forward with the realization that one day he would call to be home with him. In the meantime, he had many things to do and to accomplish. And that was all in light of the Lord's work within his life and what God wanted for him. But always a focus forward, not backwards, but forward. I'm afraid that sometimes I lose my focus. Okay? And probably most of you in some way, in some parts of your life, you lose focus. I remember as a younger person, I think I thought more about the return of Christ and the rapture and going to be with him more often. Part of my growing up, my younger growing up years in my small church in Eastern Oregon, the pastor was heavy, a heavy prophetic pastor. He talked about these things a lot. And I was reminded many times that Jesus could come at any moment. And that's still true. Just because he didn't come yesterday doesn't mean he can't come today. Even in the next moment or two, even before I finish this message, I believe that Scripture would back this up, that he could come at any time and take the believing world out to be with him for eternity. I look forward to that, and it can happen. And sometimes I don't think about it enough, though. I really think that we should spend a lot of time in anticipation. Not to the point that we're losing sight of what we're to do here, but in doing what we are to do here to keep that in mind. As I was younger, I also believed that I might not die. You know, and that's, you know, it wasn't that I was invincible. It's just that there is a generation of believers that will not die. The Scripture relates about the rapture. There are some that won't die. Well, as I've gotten older, the reality that death is a prospect has become more real to me. But it doesn't matter. And we'll talk about that a little bit, at least reading the Scripture this morning will address that. I'm not worried about dying, as a man in this church many years ago once said. I'm not scared of dying, it's the process that concerns me. And I think that's probably true of many of us as we advance in years. God's grace is sufficient and it does not matter. And the end result is so worth it. So let us look at this verse and some other verses as well to remind us, to regain maybe some focus on the fact that this is not our home. Maybe we should have sang that. Maybe we will. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Look that up in the book, Katie. Some background. Paul is at the end of his life. Verse 6 of chapter 4. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. The drink offering was at the end of the sacrifice. All the ritual that was involved in making the sin offering for sin, the sacrifice, the drink offering was the very last thing. And it seems quite evident here as Paul writes to this young man in the faith that he's speaking about his time that he is going to depart. I'm being poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure has come. Verse 7, I have fought the good fight. That's the soldier part of him. I have finished the course, his reference to being an athlete, of running the race of life and finishing the course, and I have kept the faith. He is the guardian. He is the one that we often see, at least in Scripture, we see him as guarding the doctrines and the truths that Jesus left to his apostles. and Paul in a little different place than others, but nevertheless, just as true for him. He has been faithful in everything that he has done. And in essence, he's saying his final goodbye and even that reminder to them to keep their eyes and their focus for the prize that is at the end. And so within this verse, he says, in the future, there is laid up for me a crown. Culture would make probably a little bit of difference here. Crowns aren't really a significant thing for most of us. We don't even have the setup as a part of our government. We got away from that when we left old England and went our own way. But a prize, a trophy, so to speak, maybe. In the future, there is laid up for me a crown. Paul, in his forward look, is looking for that crown. And this is a crown of righteousness. This whole thing really deserves a lot more attention. But within this, in that crown referring to something of winning, of finishing, something of importance, a reward of some kind, this case is the crown of righteousness. You know, we think sometimes, and I don't talk about it a lot from the pulpit, but the scriptures do allude to it, the fact that we will receive rewards for what we've done here in our flesh as we serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I think when you start thinking about it too much, you might get the wrong desires. You might have the wrong motivations. I don't know. But this crown is a very special crown. The crown of righteousness. Now, where does your righteousness come from? It comes from Him, doesn't it? Remember a few weeks ago we talked about my absolute most favorite verse? 2 Corinthians 5:21. For He has made Him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Our righteousness, we talked about that as being the great exchange. We received His righteousness when we came by faith to Him. We received His righteousness. He received our sin as He died on the cross for our sins. My righteousness is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And so when this crown is placed on my head, it's His righteousness that is there. It is His righteousness that gave me this place of hope with being with God for all eternity. And anything that I am or will be for all eternity is all because of Him, totally and completely. When we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, we receive His righteousness. God declares us as being righteous. That means that we are acceptable into His holy presence to all eternity. We are also given the Holy Spirit who begins to work in our lives and to literally change us and to make us more and more into the image of Jesus Christ, that we more become more workable to show the righteousness of Christ because God is changing us. He's trying to get rid of some things that shouldn't be there, and He's trying to do some things, add some things that will make us more like Christ and to reflect His righteousness and to live more righteously. But now, in the future, that will all become not only through Christ and His righteousness and through the work of the Spirit within our lives to change us, but it will become a completed process where I will be righteous. completely righteous, fit to be in God's presence, totally and completely for all eternity. I'm still struggling with that now. There's still a battle going on inside of me between my carnal and my fleshly side and the new spirit that God has placed within me to love Him, to follow Him, to be like Him. There is still that struggle, but now that struggle is over. There will be no more draw to do what we shouldn't do. We will be. And I'm saying that very strongly. We will be righteous completely and totally. And that, I believe that crown is a symbol of that righteousness that God has given to us through Jesus. Righteousness fully realized. That is amazing. I say that very simply. I should be shouting it from the top of the roof, except getting on this roof scares me quite a bit. That's an awful steep roof. But I should be shouting it. I will be righteous. Wow. I am positionally now, and God is changing me to be that way, but I will be completely and 100%. So, okay, I'm going to make this relatively short this morning. I believe that we should take our focus back to where it should be. And that focus is to see Him and to see Him more completely, to do what He wants us to do through the power of the Holy Spirit, allow that change to take place, but always with a forward look that He is going to change us. And we will be completely and totally fit for His service for all eternity in complete righteousness. How's that going to happen? Well, let's read some passages to kind of bring this to its culmination. I believe that that event that we call, it's not even a biblical word, but we call it the rapture, is the next thing on God's big schedule of things to look forward to. That's when we will go to be with Him, and we will be changed. Let's read about three different ones. First of all, John 14. This is one that you are probably familiar with most, and because at least even if you haven't been involved in a lot of church, you've heard this at funerals, if nothing else, at one point or another, probably. John 14, in the first few verses, Jesus speaking to His disciples before His crucifixion. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many dwelling places. And again, the old King James sometimes is a nice way to think about things. Many mansions. Wouldn't you all like to live in a mansion? Are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Christ is alluding to the promise that He who died and rose again and then went back to heaven has went back and He's prepared a place for us and that He's going to come again. Why is He going to come again? Well, there's kind of some different things that are going to go on in the future. But one of the main things and the focus right now, He's going to come back for us. He's going to come back for us. 1 Corinthians 15. This whole chapter deals with the resurrection of Christ and of of us as well. 1 Corinthians 15. I'm in 2 Corinthians. That doesn't have a 15. So I was in trouble. Starting at verse 50. That's a long chapter, and towards the end, verse 50. Now I say this, brethren. A lot of stuff Paul has already said that's important, but now he kind of comes to the culmination. Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood, that's the way we are right now, cannot, not probably not, but cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Nor does the perishable, that's what we are now, inherit the imperishable. That's what we have to look forward to in the future, an imperishable place in God's eternal existence. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, that we will not all die, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when the perishable will have put on the imperishable, and the mortal will have put on the immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Important point. Again, this is the Apostle Paul writing this letter to the Corinthians. You and I, the way that we are in this world, in our bodies, this flesh and blood that now we now live in, cannot inhabit God's eternal dwelling place. Heaven, if you want to use that terminology, this body, this flesh and blood is not fit to be in God's presence for eternity. It's not fit, it's not made for heaven the way it is right now. And so he says it must be changed. And so at some point, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, that process will take place. And we will be changed into something that, a body, a form, a body, and I believe it will be physical, but it will be an eternal body. This body's starting to wear out a little bit, and I'm starting to realize that more and more. That little girl on the videos this morning about Operation Christmas Child, she was born with spina bifida. If I remember right, that's where the spine, you're born with your spine being laid open. It's not enclosed. It's kind of out there for everyone to see. And of course, there's operations, there's things that happen. But this crippled girl was responsible for putting together 20,000 shoeboxes, showing what she could do. And that's a whole other story. But that body of hers will be changed. It's been even already at birth, it was very corrupted physically. It wasn't even formed completely. But one day, all the aches and pains and all of the problems that now exist will be gone. We will have something new. I don't know much about it, but I think we're going to like it. I think we're going to like it. Well, one more. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, can't close without that one. It tells a little bit more detail. We had a little bit of detail in 15, in 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting at verse 13. Here's another one where I like the King James, because it says, I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren. I shouldn't like that. 13, But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, those who have died, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep, for those who have died in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep, those who have died. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. God has order, talked about specificness in God and all that he does. He has order in what he does. When Christ returns and the rapture takes place, the dead in Christ will rise first. Those who have died, those believers who have gone on, their spirits have departed and went to be the Lord, but now their bodies are going to be resurrected. And maybe many of those bodies, there isn't much but earth left to them. But they will be resurrected first. And they will be caught up into the clouds. The thing about the rapture is that Christ doesn't set foot upon the earth at this point. He will at another point, but not this point. And we will be caught up to meet him in the clouds. These will be given new bodies fit for eternity. Then, verse 17, we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we always be with the Lord. Not mostly, not sometimes, but always. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. One day, Jesus will return for those who he has redeemed through his blood, who have believed in what Christ has done for them and accepted his provision for their sins. He will return for his brothers and sisters. We are joint heirs with Jesus, and so we become his brothers and sisters. Many will have already passed away. That's a process of life, and sometimes we don't like the way that process works, but it is in God's control. They will be the first resurrected and be remade into eternal bodies, reunited with their spirits for eternity, into an eternal form, an eternal body, a body fit to be in God's presence forever and ever. Alive believers will also be caught up and changed, prepared for eternity, just as those who have preceded us. And in this verse, it reminds us that this is going to happen. That this is what is going to take place, and this should be a focus for us, a goal that we see coming down the road that is upon our hearts and mind. Paul looks forward to this, and he says, not only do I look forward to that, but also all those who love his appearing. Those of us who look forward to that time, into that day. Pressing for the gold, the crown, looking for his appearing. There should be within us, and this should help spur a response within our hearts to recommit our focus in what we do now, that it will ultimately come to this end in this earth. Praise the Lord. In the future there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Can you say this? Which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only me, but also to all who love his appearing. Are you looking forward? If you're not, maybe you're not saved and you need Jesus, first of all. Or maybe there's some things not quite right in here that need to be gotten right with Him. Because we should be drawn to this blessed event that may happen at any moment. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. And maybe for some this is a point of decision of salvation, or a point of decision that, you know, maybe things in my life aren't what they should be and I need to get things turned around. And the reality is that, Father, You're the one that turns things around for us. The Spirit of Your Spirit living within us gives us the power to do what You want us to do. And there may be a decision of our hearts that we need to allow this to happen, that change process, and the idealistic understanding that this is what lies in store for us. And you know what? We should be a little excited. We should get up in the morning sometimes and we should say, what if it were today? Is Jesus coming back today? Or maybe even when we go to bed at night. Father, to keep our minds and our hearts stayed upon You and that blessed hope that we have. We thank You, and for each heart to challenge us where we're at and what's going on within our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.